All right, we'll go ahead and roll right into our next media availability. We're joined now by Chris Buescher, driver of the number 17 RFK Racing Ford. If you have a question for Chris, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. All right, we'll go up with Dustin.
Dustin Long, USA Sports. How do you look at things with where you are in points, and is it obviously you come here to win every weekend, but how much do you have to look at, or is that Scott's job and you just mash the gas?
I mean, we're certainly aware of it every week, right? And I think we talked about this year when we went back to this chase format that we were pretty confident we're very confident we're going to be in the chase. That if you take our last several seasons and you try and overlay this format on it, then we would have been fine. We would have been almost easily in every one of those years. And with that, I know that's because we were able to go to a lot of these racetracks and be very competitive and have chances to win races. And I think that our bad tracks have stepped up this year, and we haven't really had to go to the racetrack and have those rough weeks. We've had a tough go here in the last couple of weeks from a finishing position standpoint, but from a competitive standpoint, we're not lacking there. So on the chase and the points side of things, I'm not worried about it. I'm aware of it, but certainly we come to Michigan here. This is a huge win opportunity for us. We've had this one on our minds for a long time. To be so close here last year and to be able to pick out two or three very minute detail things that we could have done differently that ultimately could have gotten us to victory lane, it stung a little bit coming out of here. And that being said, you know, it's been a really good track to us. It's an important track for all of our partners with Ford, for Jack being his backyard, Brad's backyard. I joke about every time I come here, it's everybody's home track except mine, and I guess now Ryan's, so I got somebody in that corner with me. But yeah, there's a lot on the line when we come to this racetrack, and fortunately we've been very fast here, so we get to come out here and figure out how to win a race and let the points come as they might for it.
You are 38 points away from fifth, and the feeling seems to be you really need to be in the top five to have a realistic shot of winning the championship once the points are reset. So to be that close, how does that compare with trying to get into the chase in previous years, and that bubble versus maybe fifth is the championship bubble, if that's what you want to call it?
I think you're accurate there, that if you really want to have a chance to win the championship, that yes, you need to be certainly in the top half, and probably top third of the field. That does make that cut. And you know, for us, we got there and just a couple weeks ago, and like I said, we just had a couple of rough weeks that have set us back. And fortunately, we had built up a gap, and that doesn't mean that we're on the outside looking in, and we're still in the top half of it, but by the skin of our teeth, right? So we got to get back on track, and I have no doubt we can do that as we look at this weekend. Pocono has been really good for us. You know, we got some road racing coming up. There's a lot of really solid racetracks that I feel very confident that we'll be able to put those numbers back up on the board. You know, like just started off there, that I don't have any doubts that we're going to be able to make the play, make the chase. But we don't want to just participate. We want to figure out how to make a run at this thing. And we have some work to do to truly be in the hunt for that. But the consistency and the competitiveness at all these different styles of racetracks and being able to not have races that we go to and say, man, this is just not going to be our weekend. Not having that is really helping us just stay consistent across our weekends that are just decent are still good enough to keep us in the hunt. So yeah, we're still working. We know we need to be a little better yet, and we've talked about we're able to run, you know, right there and be close to in the hunt for some wins, and you know, feel like we got just a very small step to make to truly be in the hunt week in, week out, and we just haven't gotten there quite yet this year.
We'll go in the back to Tim and then Matt and make our way around the room.
Chris, Tim Cattle, Famo Motor Racing Network. You mentioned Pocono, obviously the site of your first win. Can you take me back to that day? What do you remember about that race weekend? What do you remember about that race in particular?
Lots of things that that were very positive. And then on the negative side of it, I'll just start with that, because when we did get the final, okay, that's it, we're calling it. It was so almost an hour and a half later. I think all the pit boxes on pit road were shut down, sealed up. People were gone. Haulers were missing, right? Like it was pretty clear we were done, and we hung out for a long time. And the negative side to that is, at the end of it, there was nobody to celebrate with. I think there were eight people, mainly our team, standing on pit road, and the grandstands were empty. Pit road was empty. The garage was all but empty. We couldn't use the really neat victory lane at Pocono that has since been replaced. So we had to go do an alternate one in the garage. I mean, it was no celebration on the front, no burnout to it. Like it took away some of the most fun parts about winning races and just that that raw emotion in the moment. That being said, it was huge for us. I remember how the day went, and you know, we had an accident that we narrowly avoided, but we did end up getting I think we touched fenders with somebody, and you know, metal body cars, it ended up cutting a tire down. So we ended up on pit road off sequence, which set us up to be able to run longer on that that fuel run, and it put us in a spot to where, you know, as cars started pitting, the rain was far enough out, but the fog's unpredictable in Pocono, and I've had an arc of wind narrowly slip away due to fog at Pocono, ironically, and I'll still trade it for that cup win at the end of the day, so I'm okay with it now. But it let us stay out there just long enough, and Jamie McMurray was ahead of us, and when he pitted, I think it was the next straightaway, they came over the radio, and they're like, hey, visibility is getting pretty bad up here. How is it from your standpoint and going down the backstretch? I was like, oh, yeah, it's fine. And as soon as I let the words come out, I realized, well, that was the wrong answer, right? Like, I know what they were fishing for. And they were very quick to ask me again the next straightaway. And I was like, yeah, it's really bad. I can't see a thing. I'm sure you can't see me either. This feels unsafe. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a slow learner back then. But it was a really big moment for us, for everybody at Front Row Motorsports, and to be able to put ourselves into the playoffs that season was huge in our rookie year. So yeah, definitely have a lot of things that come back to me from that race, and it was certainly a fun one. But it was unfortunate not to get to celebrate the proper way, because those things, wins in this sport, are so hard to come by, no matter how they arrive. And you certainly want to have that that ability to celebrate with all the people that work so hard to create those moments. And it didn't quite feel the same as any of the wins since.
We'll come up to Matt and then over to Chris.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. You were peripherally, I guess, kind of involved with the tension between Austin and Brad, and I'm curious, in the days that followed, did you kind of interject yourself into that conversation? Have you guys at RFK kind of just stayed in your own lane and not talked to Austin about it, or what was that communication process like?
No, I reached out to Austin when I got to the airport. I just wanted to know, or let him know, that I didn't know what happened ahead of us at the time, and I didn't know what happened between him and Brad later either at the moment. But I just told him, I said, look, that was not intentional. I said, I don't know exactly what happened and why there was a checkup. I said, but I, you know, it was a wild moment. I don't know who hit pit road and caused all the stack up. I should say caused. I mean, it's just racing deal. But when it got to be that way, I had a run under Austin, because he was one that had to move up the hill, and I just told him, I said, once I realized that my run wasn't going anywhere, because I had to pull down low too, got a little sideways, I said, I was just literally trying to get back in line to get back in the draft. So we're good. I just kind of let my position be known and let him know that there was nothing, you know, intentional or anything in that moment. We were just just racing and sorry they got caught up in it. So that's it's the only thing I've had with them, and we were fine at the end of it. But yeah, I didn't realize what all went down in the moment. It was a chaotic corner, I know that, and led to a chaotic straightaway.
And then as you guys have started to kind of dive into the San Diego course, what have you learned about it, and what kind of racing do you think we're going to see?
I think it will be the hardest road race that that anybody in this garage has ever run, just from standpoint of so many corners. I think we have labeled 16, but if we labeled them like some other tracks, it would probably come out to like 30. It's going to be very, very difficult. It's very narrow in places. It's extremely wide in others, to the point where you're almost trying to figure out where in the world you should be in that 100 feet of racetrack to set up for a corner. Trying to figure out what our spotters are going to be able to see and what we're going to be kind of left on our own to do. And everybody in this room knows that's dangerous if you leave it up to the steering wheel holders to decide if we're clear or not. But it's going to be rough in a lot of places. I think I've laughed about it. It's fitting to be near aircraft carriers. We're going to be in the air quite a bit. And I think that it's rough, rough in a lot of ways that it's going to be tricky. It's going to be very, very difficult to go in there and figure out how to get that thing right from the get-go. All the sim that we're going to continue to run and have run already, it's not going to be the real thing until you get there, right? And, remember Chicago for the first time and all the things you were able to do in the sim and knowing that there was no penalty, the turn four entry speed we carried in the simulator and then get to the racetrack and like, yeah, I can wreck a race car here if I drive like the sim, but I'm telling you right now, that's exactly where we're going to be. We're going to have places like that we're going to get comfortable in the simulator. We're going to say, oh, those bumps aren't bad, or I can drive through it, and you're going to get to the racetrack, and it's not going to be the case. So it's all we have, right? And it is a very important tool, but it's not reality at the end of the day, and we're going to have a lot of learning to do when we do get there.
You're not going to land in the bay, are you?
That is not my plan either. I heard you ask Eric, so I'll have a swimming buddy if we do, I guess, but not our game plan whatsoever. I feel like that's it's a bad plan going into it, and we're going to avoid that at all costs.
We'll go to Chris and Landon, and then wrap with Lee and Reed.
Chris Knight, GetChance.com. Chris, what's the Achilles heel of RFK or even your number 17 program heading into this crucial summer stretch?
Asking about like racetracks or what we've kind of circled is, we're really close to truly be in the hunt to win a lot of races right now, but we're not there, right? We can run in that fifth to seventh window at almost anywhere, I feel like, but we have to figure out how to break through and pierce that bubble. And it's hard. It's always that last step that's the most difficult. And there's a few teams that have hit on it so strongly this year that we're trying to catch up, essentially. So I look at what we have through the summer. We've talked about it a lot with our own team that the first 8 or 10 races of the year have been important for us to get better, and we've done that this year. But the summer stretch really has all the racetracks that we can't wait to get to, whether that's here, Pocono, Indy, Sonoma. It's a lot of races that we've run really well at, racetracks that we've won at, that we know are going to be in a good spot. So I think that the summer stretch is very good for us. We feel very good that this is kind of the time of year where we seem to hit our momentum. So if we can keep pushing and be able to turn this into that 6 or 7 week stretch where we're able to pierce through that bubble a time or two, then we're in a great spot as we head towards the cutoff and into the chase for the end.
Go ahead.
Hi, Chris. Landon Quisenberry with frontstretch.com. You mentioned earlier your teammate Ryan Preece. I think something interesting is that you were teammates with him back in his rookie year at JTG, and you know, through this time being able to work with him again as a teammate, how much growth have you seen from him as a teammate and a competitor in the shop compared to when you first got to work with him back then?
The first time I met Ryan was before we actually got to the racetrack. We started doing some we were doing a little skit for ironically Kroger at the time then as well, and I remember reading the script. We came in the shop and started reading through the script, and I was basically just laying it on this guy, like, new guy here, just belittling him in so many different ways. And I'm sitting here like, man, I don't know him well enough to know if this is going to be okay or not. And it didn't feel quite right in the moment, but it dawned on me pretty quickly that he was going to give it back. And then yet here we are getting cars hidden in parking lots and you know, having a good time away from the racetrack, but also more importantly, to answer your question, I think that as I've seen Ryan come over to RFK and dive into the third race car here, it's helped our entire organization be able to pick up in pretty key areas. Short track racing has been a huge part of that. And I know that's his background, and really that's where we've all come from to some extent, but or you know, to any extent, but you know, he's really strong in that regard, and his knowledge has helped us dive into things that have made us a lot stronger when we look at places like a Martinsville or a Loudoun or places that you know, haven't been as good for me through the years. It's helped me be able to elevate. So. That's been really neat to see him be able to come in and not from a rookie standpoint at this time by any means, but be able to come in and elevate a program as he dove off into the third car at RFK. It's hard to fire up a third team and it not be a drag on an organization. I think it's probably not talked about enough how difficult it is to and Eric was up here talking about it, to hire that many people to get it going, and those people on the third team not pull back others, to be able to dive off in and say, we all know what we're doing, we can help one another, and it's not going to take resources away from anybody. That is going to only elevate, and you know, that has happened. We've been able just to elevate, and I think a lot of that is owed to Ryan, and equally as much to his team also in the way that they've handled this and been able to jump in the fire and make it competitive. So it's continuing to grow. We're continuing to get better at all the different styles of racetracks, and I think that's because we're all able to lean on each other for our strengths. You know, whether that's you know, going road racing and trying to pass on what I guess I've been able to figure out through the years to you know, Brad, when we go intermediate racing or speedway racing and try and pass that knowledge along, we've got our bases covered on about any style of racetrack right now, and it's helping to elevate all of RFK.
Two final questions from Lee and then Reed.
Lee Spencer, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. So this is kind of like a three-part question. We've heard you talk about the struggles and trying to compete with the other organizations. So number one, the Ford is pretty much maxed out, is what we've been told, and until you guys get a new car next year. So, A, how much of is car? B, how much is execution? And C, how much is the fact that you're going against an organization that, for all intent and purpose, is a seven-car factory-backed team in Toyota and a seven-car factory-backed team as in the Hendrick Spire Alliance?
Yeah, I mean, we try and go down the list here. We realize that you know, we've worked really hard on this race car, and we've been able to get a lot out of it. And you know, and it is our turn for an update. And you know, I think that that's very important to us. And we know that nobody submits a new race car and doesn't make it better. And so we know that we're in line to make ours better at this point, and I wouldn't say that it's natural at this point to be the one feeling like you need more, but it's kind of just the cycle of how we do our submissions, right? So we are really excited to get into to the Dark Horse SC, but also we're able to capitalize on what we have right now. We've still been very fast, and it's very close for us to be able to break through it. And I keep saying it's right there in front of us. We just have to execute on an incredibly high level to be able to use it right. I think that we have a lot of potential. We're very close. But to kind of dive into the second part of your question, we have to execute basically 100% to be able to make that speed that we do have turn into to wins or opportunities for wins. We can't afford to have a pit road penalty and think you're going to come blasting right back from that. We have to be near perfect, and we're capable of that, and we know it, and we know it just requires a lot of discipline right now, and a lot of studying. And like I said, we're up for the challenge, and we're not sitting here right now saying, "Oh, we'll just wait till 2027." We have a lot of stuff still in the works. You know, if you use the term "maxed out," that it may be the consensus through the room, but I promise you, we don't believe it. That we're still working to find everything we can and to improve on everything. Are those opportunities smaller now? Maybe. Maybe we're missing something big that could be huge for us. I don't have all those answers. It's a little above me, but we're not sitting still ultimately, and we know that. So yeah, we're gonna keep getting after it. And yeah, we have our three car team, and you know, we have the different four teams that you have. Share certain amounts of information with, but it's not it's not like an in-house program that's just in the building next year, right? It's a way to bounce stuff off it and try and create that high tide that can raise all ships, but also we're all competing at the same time. And I'd imagine it's the same way for any of the other organizations that you know, yes, you have the numbers, but ultimately you're still competing against each other. So you got to do all you can to maximize what you have and do the best with the information you have. And that's what we're trying to do, just maybe on a smaller number scale.
Go ahead. Last question.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. With as much time as going into the prep on Coronado, and that being such an unknown, is that going to take away from the prep at Sonoma, where you've had three top fives in the last four races? And is there going to be a sense of relief once you get through Coronado that you're going to Sonoma, where you've done so well?
I think there will probably be a sense of relief if you come out of there and everything goes well. And you know, as we dive into Sonoma, that you know, typically you would spend the week prior planning for that race and running simulation and all those things. We won't do that this go around because we will be out in California already, right? So does it take away from it in the immediate week leading up to it? Yes, but it is still being worked on it as we lead up to it. It's just starting earlier than typical. So we've run Sonoma so much through the years, we don't have the massive changes going into it. There's no fresh repave or anything. We're a couple years into that now, so we feel like we have a pretty good handle on it. We have a pretty good idea of the new package and what that's done for these other road races. So all that being said, it doesn't require the prep work that San Diego is going to. And because of that, we don't feel like we're going to be leaving anything on the table when we get to Sonoma. We just know that you know, that prep has been done over the course of 4 or 5 years at this point.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time this afternoon, Chris. Good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it.